Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have Chris, Lauren, Sharpie, and Steve. Hello.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Howdy, Lisa.
Howdy, Chris.
Hello.
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 You know, that's really good for everybody who's driving in their car. It's nice and calm.
Do you think it's too sexy? Is that what it is?
And then all of a sudden, they have the volume at the right level. And then Chris Wood comes on.
Hello, darling.
Scares all the little kids in the back seat.
Kids like
all
it.
The big kids in the front seat.
Yes.
The dads dig it, if you know what I mean.
I don't even understand.
I'm pretty sure I don't want to know.
Okay, I'll stop.
Okay, so on today's show, we're going to be covering a little bit of Disney news.
A lot of Disney news.
There's a lot. We're going to do a whole show on news.
I feel like there were several weeks where nothing happened at Disney, and then all of a sudden there's tons of news again.
Yes.
Kind of like,
feeling
pow.
Is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think I have to start off. Now, this is going on the record as rumor. It's not official. I don't have written word. But I have heard that there's going to be a change in the free dining for 2016.
Which is shocking to me. I can't believe this.
Well, let's just see how it goes. Changes
to free dining?
What? Wait.
Unlike the last few years?
They're going to offer it, and they're going to actually offer it for the whole free dining time? No.
No.
That
no.
can't be it.
No, it gets worse. So the supposed change that's going to be happening for free dining offers in 2016, in years past, the way it works is, let's just say there's a free dining offer from October 1st to the 15th, and then the 25th to, you know, the 5th of November. So you've got a gap in between the 15th and the 25th, where if you booked your arrival date between those dates, well, I guess the 16th through the 24th, you would not get free dining because it was not arriving on a valid date. If you booked on the 15th, they honored free dining for the duration of your trip, even though the only date that was in the valid window was the arrival date, the 15th. Now, just like the room discounts that they offer, where you get the discount for only the valid dates during your travel, it's going to be the same way for the free dining. So if you're checking in on the 15th, and I don't know how they're going to do it, I don't know if they're going to give you free dining for one day and then you pay for the rest, but you're not going to get free dining for the duration of your trip. If you check in on the 10th.
All right, so, yeah.
I suspect the way they'll do it is how they do the room discounts now, which means that you can check in and check out for that one night to get free dining, and then the rest of the week you would be a room discount or whatever it is.
Right, but you also have to figure out what kind of stipulations are going to be centered around that free dining with the tickets.
Right.
So I don't know how it's going to work, but I do know that the days of checking in on the 15th and getting free dining for the duration of your trip are gone.
Yeah, so basically it used to be if you had one day in the free dining offer and then you extended outside
the arrival date.
Yes, if you had one day inside a free dining offer that was the arrival date and then you extended past that day, say 5 more days, you could get free dining even on those additional 5 days that were outside of the existing offer. But those are days that Disney doesn't need to fill rooms. So, but they still extended it to you because one day of your reservation was in the booking window of the free dining offer. So the rumor is that is going to go away. If you book a free dining inside of the travel window, you get free dining. If the dates are outside of the offer, you don't. But we'll see if that actually happens.
Which,
but it makes sense.
I could see them doing it. I mean, it makes sense that that's the way they're going to go. I mean, they're little by little trying to whittle away as much free dining as possible. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it never made sense. It never made sense to me that you could book one day of free dining and then extend 7
and
days
and hang
out
on the coattail.
Yeah.
Right.
Check in on December 18th and stay through Christmas.
Yeah. Mm, and get
really?
Free dining for the whole thing. When, yeah. So I never understood that concept anyways. So it looks like that might be going away.
It doesn't surprise me.
No. We'll see. Okay. Sharpie, Disney Springs.
Morimoto. The new restaurant is opening up, the Iron Chef inspired. If you've seen photos of the restaurant, it is absolutely gorgeous inside. However, like many, many, many of the restaurants that we have talked about lately that have opened at Downtown Disney or will be opening at Downtown Disney, I think this place is going to be pretty loud. it's pretty cavernous on the inside, and there doesn't seem to be much soft material that would absorb sound. And something else, and I mean, I may be crazy, and I may be a crazy northerner, but who wants to eat outside in Orlando? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. There's like maybe 2 to 3 months a year where it's even plausible, let alone possible. I mean, it would be so hot, especially in the summertime. Oh, my goodness, it would be miserable. But anyway, beautiful outdoor dining on the waterfront at beautiful Disney Springs, excuse me. And that's also a little bit of news that I don't think we've covered. They've been putting new signs up reflecting Disney Springs. So they're kind of changing the name over little by little. It's going to be a little difficult going from Downtown Disney to Disney Springs and remembering that it's Disney Springs now.
No.
But anyway, so Pan Asian inspired menu. A lot of the photos of the food that they've had at preview events and stuff like that. Absolutely beautiful plating. Looks like reasonably healthy fare for whenever a lot of people think of Asian food, they think of Chinese food, and it's just typically never healthy at all. But looks like a place I would probably try.
Yeah, I have to agree. I saw the photos, and the first thing I thought was, wow, that looks like it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
It looks like a big P.F. Chang's.
That's kind of the...
That's some industrial feel with, metal beams and, I don't know, cement floors, at least from the sketches.
I think the chandeliers look like jellyfish.
Oh, there you go.
Am I the only one that kind of thought that? Anyway. It looks beautiful. It looks rather elegant for a restaurant so large, but I don't know how great it's going to be to eat there if it's going to be so cavernous and loud.
We'll have to try it. One of us will have to go.
Oh, we'll have to take one for the team.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I already did that with the Boathouse, so I'll be skipping this one. Although I love Pan-Asian food.
Yeah,
so
it sounds like healthy options. I would like some healthy options.
That would be nice.
And we might be there. The fall would be a nice time for maybe eating outside, depending on the day.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to be there in October.
Mm. I tried already.
Oh, did you really? Oh, my gosh. No way. So was that... So, okay.
It's gone. There was no getting it. I tried.
You know what, though? When I went to the Boathouse...
So if anybody sees it, grab it.
When I went to the Boathouse, they told me that they only give Disney 10% of their seats. So maybe if we call them directly... I would totally try.
You want to try, Chris? I'll go.
Yeah, I'll call.
If you want to call the restaurant, it's 407-560-6686.
407-560. What was the rest?
407-560-6686.
And did we'll make sure we book it. We'll book it before I release the show, everybody.
Yeah.
But then everyone else who's listening to the show, feel free to call and book on your own as well.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, it should be good because I think we're eating. I don't even know where we're eating on that Saturday night, so we could do this instead.
And I don't know if we said or not. It opens on September 30th, unless I missed it. Yeah, so it's coming up.
Okay, Lauren. Food, wine, what do you know?
So... Food and Wine Festival has, and this has been out for a little while now, the Party for the Senses. You can book it. It's select dates in October. They have it for October 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st. And, you know, I've been trying to read what is included because it's a pretty high sticker. And basically what it looks like is, sorry, I lost it. Okay. It's you're going to attend a party for the senses where you can take in the Eat to the Beat concert, and then you get reserved seating for that. After the show is over, then you go over to, you actually get to stay where the pavilion actually transforms into a different setting, basically, for food and wine. They have acrobats. They have different foods and beverages from around the world, basically. On October 31st, they do have the Yellow Masquerade, which I actually just learned about this year. I don't know if it's new this year, but I believe it was out last year as well. I had no idea about this.
Oh, what's that?
You can celebrate Halloween on October 31st from 7 to 9:30. And sample menu of different dishes paired with champagne, wine, craft beer, and specialty cocktails. They have music and different visual unique experiences. And it's your dress code is basically masquerade.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Interesting.
And then they have one that's just chefs for October 24th.
Is that so where you have like the ones. Little mask on a stick?
Yeah.
Okay.
But their price points are pretty high. There's three different price points on it. General admission, which allows you to just kind of sample your way through 50 different tasting stations. Which I guess
50?
When you compare, 50.
My wow. Goodness.
There's limited seating and availability. It's $169 per guest, and that's general admission. Then you have reserve seating, which gives you early entry into it at $645. And that one's $199 per person.
Oof.
And then you get the Wine View Lounge, which basically gives you a private reserved table and premium bar access with artisan cheese. That one's $319 per person.
Holy guacamole.
Well, that's all right. So I've heard in the past, and we haven't been, and we should eventually go to one of these. But the thing I heard a complaint was it was like, you know, the food and wine kiosk where, you know, you're going around getting all these little plates, you know, running through the crowds, and then you're like standing up against the wall. You know,
yeah,
there's not a lot
look
of
that big.
You know, there's like a couple little teeny tables just like at Food and Wine when you're at the kiosk and you're trying to, you know, cram all your stuff on this little stand up table and there's not enough tables. So now they have, if you actually want a table,
right, you can pay ahead for one.
You can actually get a table. But instead of paying $169, you're paying what? Two something?
Yeah, it was for reserve table.
Yeah.
And the private reserve table was $319. Oh. Reserve seating is $199. And general admission is $169.
$200.
But I wonder how many people they actually let in. Because that would make a difference to me on those price points.
Oh, I bet it's a lot. Because Epcot holds people. So, you know, they
And that's
they
a very
popular...
Really well. It's really popular, and it's a small area.
Now, is this like one night, or is this like multiple nights?
No, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different nights.
Okay.
All in October. Let me see. What is it?
It's always tough for me. It would be cool.
It's every Saturday night.
Okay.
From 7 to 9:30, basically.
It's very tough, and we've said this before. I think it would be cool to do, but it's very tough for me to spend $200 when I know the experience I can get at Victoria and Albert's for $200.
Yep. Right.
So
it's very cost prohibitive.
And yeah.
And expensive too.
And I'm going to be walking around in a private, it's instead of walking around World Showcase, getting hors d'oeuvres on plates.
You're welcome. Sharon.
I'm going to be walking around that, like expo convention tent that they have in the back getting my own hors d'oeuvres for $200.
I think if you're a major foodie and it's a big trip, like you don't go all the time, I think it's probably not a bad idea. $300 is a lot of money. And we looked into the hamburger one, which was just like you went to like 6 different tasting stations and it was still like $100.
Oh.
Yeah. And they only offer that.
Where?
I think they offered it twice.
Wow.
What's that, Lisa?
Where's this?
This is Epcot. At Epcot. It's called a Rockin' Burger Party. Oh, because there's music. I forgot about that part.
Well, there you go.
And it's probably part of the Eat to the Beat or something.
Well, it kind of, I mean, it's a private party. It's like after hours, I guess, or an area that's cordoned off. And there, I think, are 6 mini slider stations with each has a different theme. And it was $100. I think there are maybe a couple drinks, like alcoholic beverages included. So I looked at it because initially I was like, oh, Kevin, could I, and I could do that. And then I was like, no way, not for $100 each. Because yeah. You really could go to Victoria and Albert's if you could get in.
Yeah.
So
if anybody's been to one of these, please post on our Facebook or in the comments on the show notes, because it would be nice to see maybe we're missing something. Maybe it's worth it.
I
if
think
you haven't been and you're willing to pay for us to go, by all means, let us know.
Woohoo!
Do you know what I think we're missing? We're missing the fact that we don't do special trips anymore. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
like
true.
We don't go. I mean, you know, like Steve and Lisa and I, we're all close enough that we can drive. So that's it's not a huge deal. I mean, I don't get me wrong. Every time I walk into the Magic Kingdom, I'm like, ta-da. But, you know, it's not like we're not planning 8-9 months out. We're not, you know, like trying to make it as special as we possibly can. People who go normally, they are the ones that want to do this stuff. And maybe Sharpie and Jesse, because y'all, I mean, you don't have little kids yet and you have a little bit of disposable income that, you know, you could do things like that.
Yeah, but I'm cheap.
You're not cheap.
$319 for for an evening. So $640.
Can you imagine?
I know. Kind of I cannot.
Incredible meal, and like, oh, it would be so nice. Like, go to maybe Bull and the Bear, and still like pay a fraction of that.
I'm gonna hire a chef to come to our one bedroom villa and cook us a meal for that.
Ooh,
for less
or
than
you
half
could do
that.
You could do that balcony meal thing they have at Grand Floridian or something. Although I've heard that's not that good. So,
well, that's the other thing. I mean, these are events that are catered for a large group. So, you know, so the food is kind of, you know, on hot, you know, it's mass produced. I'm sure it's good, but it's like doing a large wedding.
Yeah, that's kind of a good point. Like those are then food is never good
at
weddings.
It's not like doing the chef table at Victoria and Albert's where they're cooking the food right there and bringing it out for a very small party.
Or Remy.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you mean Remy on the cruise, not Remy at Disneyland.
No, it was Paris. Terrible.
Okay.
You know, you're a lucky person when you know that the food at Remy and Disneyland Paris is not good. I will say that. So anyway, let's go.
Okay. Madam Wong, you're next. Indiana Jones.
Okay. So there's a rumor that Disney has plans drawn up to start to open up a restaurant at Downtown Disney themed after Indiana Jones. I hope they don't serve monkey heads.
Oh, you know, they're going to serve monkey heads. I forgot about that.
Maybe you could do like a mold of ice cream.
I bet it is. Guaranteed.
Yummy monkey brains with raspberry sauce.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed it's there.
It's the, yeah.
I think it's a
cute idea. I mean, like all little boys like Indiana Jones for about like a year and a half.
I think it's an awesome idea.
It's just a rumor. We don't know. I mean, we heard there were plans and that was about it. So it's, yeah, there's not, like, it's not like an exciting one.
There's a building that looks like an air hangar. And there's some drawings on the internet. So we'll see if that's actually what it is. But I think it's an awesome idea because I love that kind of, I didn't like the Adventurers Club, but a lot of people did. And this would be like that type of thing with a really cool bar, really cool theme. I like how they did the Jungle Cruise restaurant that's coming. I'm excited about that. Yeah, I'm excited about Disney doing their own themes instead of Rainforest Cafe and bringing in third parties to do. Because Disney can do some pretty cool themes, and they own a lot of properties now.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
Awesome. I'm excited about that if it comes true. We'll see.
I'm not excited about
I'd rather eat there than at whatever it was, Boathouse.
Yeah, that's true.
And then maybe Disney, will, since they own Indiana Jones now, maybe they'll come out with some new, the early years.
Ooh, yeah, because they're going to have to roll out Harrison Ford.
I hate earthworms.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you're dorky.
That's pretty nerdy.
They could have a little kid. Earthworms. Why did it have to be earthworms? Come on.
So weird.
Come on. Could be.
All right.
I'm excited. What's next?
We're going back to Lauren. Lauren and Aladdin.
Yes, I am very, 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 very sad about this. I know Chris is not sad about this, not but I am. So Disney Parks blog just put out that an all-new Frozen-inspired stage musical show will be coming to DCA in 2016.
Disney it's California gonna be in the Adventure.
Yep. It's going to be at the Hyperion Theater. It will come out in September of 2016. And it's going to have elaborate costumes and sets and different special effects and things like that. I'm sure it's going to be amazing because, I mean, the set of Aladdin, I always thought was amazing there. So, but the last showing will take its final curtain call on January 10th. And they're going to be closing down Aladdin. 14,000 shows will have gone off in that theater for Aladdin. It's pretty sad.
If you haven't seen that show, you got to see it. If you're definitely over at, Dis- if you're at Disneyland.
Chris is going to go see it with me in November, right, Chris?
You know, I've seen it so many times. I just don't know if I can.
Oh, I love it.
It is really good. It's very, very good. And, of course, everyone loves Genie. But, you know, we've seen him on the ships. We've seen it out in DCA. Something new, even if it is Frozen.
Now, they were going to get rid of it a couple years ago, and then everybody, there was a uprising, and they were like, okay, we're going to keep it. But it's been a while.
Frozen has taken over to a point where they can get away with it now.
Yeah,
probably.
So they'll do a Frozen show. It'll be great. And maybe some of the other Frozen stuff they'll tame down. So they'll just be, you know, the one main Frozen attraction and a couple of little things going on. Because right now Frozen's overkill, but hopefully they'll...
Yeah, I have to say, the Genie in that Aladdin show, I think, and also the Genie in the Broadway one is the killer of the show.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
It makes the show.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah. It's always current.
Half the current stuff I never get.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
Oh, it's totally not current. It's like he's still making jokes about Britney Spears. Come on.
Well, they got to get some jokes in there for us. Because the rest of us are like, who? What?
I know. It's, I don't know.
That's the problem. I'm like, who tweeted what? I don't even know anymore.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but you didn't know 20 years ago.
I did.
No, you did.
Yeah. Were you ever hip
with your blue blockers?
I was. The blue blockers. I love them.
You just seem like a guy who was like,
I love my blue blockers. Stop
and
it.
Saw the stand. And no, was I was. Like, blue blockers.
No, well, because when I'm washing the car with my ShamWow, got to have the blue blockers on. Oh,
real Steve,
love them.
I sham.
And my Mr. Microphone. Hey, baby, I'll be back for you later.
Come back later when my car's clean. I'm gonna vacuum it now.
I don't know why I remember that Mr. Microphone commercial.
I don't know why you remember the ShamWow.
Oh, the ShamWow is epic. All right, where are we? We got
to
get back.
I'm just embarrassed to be associated with you right now.
And his blue blockers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell people what blue blockers are for half the audience that don't even know?
Blue blockers are these like sunglasses they used to sell like, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago on TV. And they were like really large sunglasses. They look like the kind of, you know, that maybe a guy would wear with a trench coat. And they were really tacky.
They look like safety glasses.
They did. Blue block. But they were great because they blocked blue, whatever that means. I don't know.
They were like awesome. Funky yellow orange glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they look like safety glasses.
They're probably they probably get a pair on eBay still. I'm sure.
You can still buy them.
Oh,
on Amazon.
That's great.
I just looked it up. Yes.
Oh, good.
Hey there. You know what? These kind of look like the ones you wear every day.
They probably are.
All right. Anyway.
All right. I'm going to focus, Steve. You're going to do the next topic, and it is Andy's room.
Yeah. So we have another news rumor over at Magic Kingdom. They closed over the arcade. Over at Space Mountain, it's been closed for a while, and it's just kind of been curtained off or drywalled off. And Disney submitted some permits called Andy's Room on September 10th, I believe. So, you know, it could be anything in it, but it could actually be something to do with Andy's Room over there. But we don't know. Disney hasn't announced anything. We just saw the permits were filed. So we'll see, because that arcade was, you know, kind of barren and nobody did anything with it. So it's nice to use that space. And I think that space, it said, was about 15,000 feet. So it's a big space.
It'll be interesting. At first when I read about this, I was thinking, what's the tie with Tomorrowland? Yeah. But then you've got Buzz. Buzz is futuristic and...
Could be. It's a slight... Yeah, there's a slight tie there.
You've got the tie.
It's kind of a weird thing when you come off a Space Mountain...
To go into Andy's bedroom.
Unless you tie it into... Yeah. So it's got to be... I don't know. And you never know. I mean, that's what they've labeled it in the permits, and maybe they just label it something bizarre to keep us guessing.
Yeah. We'll see.
Could be a phone charging station. Never know.
It could be. Since we're talking about the arcade, do you want to revisit an old news story that I don't know if we covered, but I don't remember it, with the resorts, Steve?
Oh, yeah. I can go real quick and then you can chime in. But, yeah, so a while back, the resort arcades, they all got rid of the redemption games. So those are any ticket games. Florida changed one of their laws, which I'm assuming probably outlawed them as maybe a gambling device or something. So no more little toys. And for us, for the lava lamp that we've been saving for 8 years, very sad. We just have our redemption tickets. So,
well, it kind of stinks because there are several trips worth of arcade redemption points.
Yes, we have a lot of them because we're always like, all right, we'll just come back, kids.
Yeah.
But that's
mean, because you don't want to spend like 120 or 400, whatever it is,
on Tootsie Rolls.
No,
so
you don't.
Yeah, and so instead of the squishy wall climber toy that would have been in a drawer for the next 5 years,
you know what? This is a blessing in disguise.
It is. It's less junk.
It is.
It's less.
What was the first thing I said? Throw it out now.
It's another plastic pirate sword that we don't have to take home.
But you know what? I get sucked into that too, because you go and play arcade games and you don't get redemption tickets. You're like, what a rip. All I'm doing is playing.
It's about the experience.
No, it's still fun.
And then I go to redeem and I'm like, what junk? I don't want any of this.
That's it.
Yeah. You don't, well, I mean, like, you know how I feel about plastic stuff.
You don't
stuff
have to wait there
house.
With your kids and
yes,
figure
well, they
out.
Make up their mind.
You can pick something between the little.
Yeah. You can't have this and that.
The Chinese thumb.
You're going to have to choose.
I don't even know what that thing is.
It's Chinese torture?
Yeah. The little.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Those things. I hate those.
I love those.
I never understood those.
Yes.
They work.
Yeah, so you can't get one of those anymore.
I have a bunch of those from Amber's party. We did a magic party, mm-hmm. and I have disappearing ink and those little fish that curl up and tell your fortune.
Yeah, so if you want any of that junk.
And Chinese finger tortures.
Want any of that junk, just send your redemption tickets to us. And we'll mail you somewhere.
Seriously, we're going to get redemption tickets up the wazoo.
We might.
You're so generous.
What's the next
story? Okay, you can send those to Steve, not me.
Yes.
Ugh. Okay, let's see what's next. We've got Madam Wong, Disney Dining Scalpers.
Oh.
Okay, so I got completely fired up about this last week. So there's a couple things going on right now. The first thing you have to know is that you can go to a place. There's a couple different companies that offer it, and you can pay a fee. It's usually about $8. And when the dining reservation that you want comes up, they'll text you and let you know. And then you have to go into your My Disney Experience account and get that. This isn't necessarily what we're talking about, although it is kind of, it's like basically paying someone to babysit My Disney Experience for you all day long. There's no guarantee you're going to get it. And if you pay the money, you're out the money, whether you get it or not. So there's that. The next thing is actually a service. And I don't even want to call it a service. It's a company that's actually going in and they're making dining reservations and then they're selling them. So for about $8, you can buy a reservation. It's not guaranteed, say for Be Our Guest. And then you would go ahead and at a set time, you and the person who holds the reservation for Be Our Guest in their name would get on, you know, like instant message or something. And they would say, okay, I'm canceling it right now. You're in your My Disney Experience account. You get it. There's no way to prove that reservation ever existed. And of course, you could go ahead and try to get it immediately and someone else could grab it. Anyone who's ever had My Disney or had Be Our Guest show up on My Disney Experience and had the experience of actually trying to grab it and not being able to get it knows the frustration and knows how likely it is that you're actually going to get that reservation when that person cancels it, if it ever existed in the first place. The other thing, and this is their real scam, is a $15 fee, and they will sell you a reservation they've made. So I looked on their website, and for example, for October, they had 27 Be Our Guest reservations available. And you could go there and pay the $15, and then according to them, you would just go under their name, John Doe, and you would you know, have your reservation. And they had some pretty big ones. They had 6, 7, 5, reservations people on the reservation. So it wasn't even like reservation for two. It was big reservations. And, because Disney doesn't require you to show ID when you check in, you could use any name. And I suspect they don't use John Doe. I suspect they probably have, an alias, and they have, oh, hi, my name's Steve Griswold. I've got a, party of six at 7 o'clock tonight to be our guest, that kind of thing. So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's basically the scam. But what happened was, is Fox News and some other news outlets have reported on it. So of course, Disney has egg on their face again, not their fault, but just like with the guest assistant cards they had last year where they kind of, had like a little scandal going on. So
I beg to differ that it is their fault.
No, it's really not their fault. It isn't their fault.
It is though. And here's why. Because Disney has made booking vacations with them impossible. They have made it so difficult and so complicated that people have to resort to this type of scalping to get a dinner reservation because they don't know enough that they should have booked 7 months ago.
But the thing is, if you've booked...
It's not fair. They should hold back reservations. They should hold back stuff for people who don't know.
Well, but that's not realistic. And that's not something they ever had to do. And the reality is, until these scalpers came out, you could get up at a decent time in the morning and still get Cinderella's Royal Table 180 days out.
What, and like you're midnight? Right.
No, you could get it in the morning. You didn't have to. Trust me, I am the queen of not doing dining on time. And I always got everything I wanted. Of course, I never wanted to be our guest. But I mean, in general, I could get Ohana. I could get Cinderella's Royal Table and things like that.
Yeah. I think one of the thing that I don't like about it with these systems are they're going in and there's multiple websites doing this. And every day at midnight, they're booking as many as they can on a bunch of probably debit cards that they're getting at a drugstore and just putting it on a fake, on a $25 debit card. And they get a bunch of those in case, they need different credit card numbers. And they buy up a lot of the good inventory. And then people that go in the next morning or whatever, a lot of it's gone because these sites are buying it up and then scalping it for $15 a pop when someone who legitimately spent money on a vacation goes in to try to buy it. And now they're holding all of Disney's inventory or a decent percentage of it. If, one site has 30 Be Our Guest and another site has so many. And then before you know it, you're having to, every Disney or a lot of Disney reservations for the popular places are all being scalped by people just making a buck.
Yeah. And it's totally easy money and they don't even need a lot of capital. And if you look at their website, it's really budget. I mean, it's a very low budget looking site, but it shouldn't have to be this way. I mean, somebody might look at it and say, it's only 15 bucks. My little girl wants to go to Be Our Guest. And I totally get that. But the fact is that you shouldn't have to do that at all. If you get up at 180 days out, you should be able to get a dining reservation for every restaurant on property if you're making it at 7 o'clock in the morning. So these people, they're scum. They really are. They're dishonest scum. And,
But Disney's going to have to come up with a way to get around this now because just like they had to do it at one point with doing the credit card guarantee.
Right. Well, and what
they're
going to
come up with a way around it.
It's going to be a, you know, you're just going to have to show ID. And that's really the only, that's the easiest, most obvious way around it. You know, some other people have suggested things like, well, you know, tie it to having a park ticket, but that doesn't really make any sense. So I don't know how you would work that.
It'll be interesting to see how they're going to have to fix this.
Well, yeah, like you said, Lauren, when the problem they had before this for years was, oh, I don't know where I'm going to eat. I'm going to book a ton of stuff, and then we're just going to pick one of the seven places to go to.
People still do it. And people still do it.
And then you have a two-hour window in between. As long as you have a two-hour window, like you can book Hollywood Studios 50s Prime Time at 7 and be our guest at 5, and the system will let you do it.
So and then they cancel, so they don't get the.
But they'll cancel it once they figure out where they want to go.
Yeah.
Now they have to cancel it.
Yeah. So it doesn't sit there, and that restaurant's half empty, and they're like, "Oh no, we're fully booked. We can't." And their people aren't making money on tips, and the restaurant's just sitting there empty because people have booked multiple reservations.
I mean, I see what you're saying, Lauren, about it being Disney's fault because they made it difficult. And I, of all five of us, I probably hate the planning process the most. I don't like to be tied to anything as far as my trip goes, except a meal or two. So I get what you're saying. But I mean, the fact is the system's been set up and it's pretty democratic across the board for everyone. If you book at a certain point and you get your reservations at a certain point, it's pretty fair. This isn't fair. So,
no, I agree wholeheartedly.
But I hope Disney just comes down hard on them. I really do. And the problem is you're constantly seeing companies and, you know, businesses trying to make a buck off of Disney. And a lot of times those people you can avoid completely. Anyone with half a brain isn't buying tickets out on iDrive or on 192. But this affects everybody. And it also affects cast members who are going to have to deal, you know, you're making $11 an hour and you're having a hard enough time. And now you're going to have to deal with someone who's got a reservation legitimately, but it's in his wife's name and she just took the kid to the bathroom and he wants to check in and now he can't do it. So he's going to be irate on this 20-year-old cast member who's already sick of dealing with people.
But you know what? But that's everybody else trying to fool the system. That's what happens.
They're going to mess it up for everybody.
They're going to mess it up for everybody else.
And that's like parking. You know, like for years, it was, you know, it was perfectly okay to say, I'm going to go to Kona and I want to have lunch and I don't have a reservation, but I know I can go eat there at 12 o'clock and go to, you know, go to the Poly. Now it's getting harder and harder to park there because of the people who scam the system.
Yeah.
And of course, I've never done that.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you know, everything is like that. Every scam that comes out, Disney has to put a stop to, and then everyone suffers for it.
So, yeah, and they seem to, they come out, it takes about a year for it to make the news or to become a big issue, and then they try to come up with a thing, and then there's another one, and I'm sure there'll be...
Well, and the whole thing with the guest assistant card has been a mess. Nobody understands how the new one works.
True.
Yeah.
So, sorry,
and
Steve,
if they make booking vacations and reservations any harder, it's just going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, so many people that I talk to say the same thing. I do not know how anybody can just go to Disney without having somebody guide them.
I think
they
you've got to make
it to a point where it's an impossible task.
I think
Which helps us. Thank you, Disney.
Well, it does. I think you've got two kinds of people that are going to succeed going to Disney, and that's your repeat clients or your repeat visitors to Disney because they learn every time, and then those who use a travel agent. You try and go and navigate Disney on your own, especially your first time.
Forget it.
Holy cow.
Well, you do have those people who are like hardcore planners. And I personally, you know, when I took my first trip.
But even those people want help.
Well, yeah. And I have to say that, you know, and I was one of those people. I had lived in Florida and it never occurred to me one time to plan a Disney trip other than to have a room and tickets. So when I, you know, when my kids were old enough that I thought it was fine to take them. I mean, the twins were infants, but Eric was five. And I was like, okay, we're going to Disney. Do you know what? I didn't plan anything. I didn't know that I could go over to the Grand Floridian and see the gingerbread house. I didn't know that a park hopper made sense to add it the first day and not the last day. And I did not know that I could get a discount. So, I mean, and there was free dining when I was there. I came back and I got on Disboards because then it kind of like, I was like, oh yeah, I'd forgotten how much fun this was. And I got on Disboards, which of course is crazy. And I was like, man, I had no idea. I missed so much stuff in a 5-day trip. So.
Right.
But I thought I knew everything. Know. And I did right. read the unofficial guide before I left. It wasn't like I totally, you know, took off without any planning. I read the unofficial guide. So, yeah. I mean, and that's pretty in depth, but yeah, I mean, it's a pretty crazy, I don't know. It's a lot of work.
Well,
so.
And I mean, and just like now, I mean, we just did a whole news show for 45 minutes of everything that's changing or new that's coming.
Yeah.
And there's always some new rule or some new restaurant or something new to experience or plan around.
Yep. Are you timing us?
Yes, I am.
Cause you know, you have to get this out. Well, he's got to get this out before they go on their cruise. So,
yeah, we're going to do a cruise. It's
going to be stale.
It's a non-Disney cruise, so we probably won't talk about it. But if anybody's interested, or maybe we will. Lisa's looking at Alex.
Nobody cares, Steve.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
All right,
I
Lisa.
May be too excited to not.
You have one more?
I actually have two. I have one that is, it may already be out there, but. The luggage tags, those cute little luggage tags you get with your travel documents when you do a Disney package, they're plastic. They have the little plastic straps. They're cute. They have new designs coming out that seem to coordinate with the Magic Band colors.
They do.
They have 7 new designs. You've got Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Pluto, Goofy, and then a Mickey and Minnie together. And I think they coordinate with the Magic Bands because they're now going to be delivered with the Magic Bands. So when you get your Magic Bands, be sure to check underneath the Magic Band tray because that's where your luggage tags are now. They're not going to come with the documents. And please note, I am not referring to the bright yellow sticker luggage tags that help you with your Disney's Magical Express. These are just the plastic ones that you can keep on your luggage forever and ever. So they're very cute. And they're going to be underneath your Magic Bands.
They have a design that looks like those new Disney cartoons where they kind of have the extreme looking Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and Goofy in that. I don't even know how to describe it.
It's a bit retro.
Yeah,
they kind of have a vintage look to them.
Yeah. And they have these really cool commercials cartoons out. You see them on Disney Cruise Line a lot when you're in the room.
So wait, are those old or are those new?
They're new. You know, they're the ones where there's no talking.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Like the hockey one.
Yeah, and they go to France.
He loses
and,
his ears.
Yeah, and his ears run away, and there's no speech at all. They're really well done. But the characters from those Disney shorts are on the luggage tags. Yeah, so if you book, and you can book with Pixie Vacations, of course, as well, and those will come in your Magic Band box, and then we'll ship your Disney documentation to you separately.
Okay. Chris Wood. Osborne Lights.
Okay. So this is totally upsetting to me. I am a major Christmas nerd. I don't really care about any other holiday except maybe Thanksgiving because it's like my Olympics because I really like to cook. But Christmas, I love. I love all the lights. I love all the presents. I love all the food. So my favorite thing at Disney at Christmas, which if you've never been, it's amazing, is Osborne Lights. I just love to go in there in Hollywood Studios. They've got everything covered in lights. They've got the music, and it's just super cheerful and exciting. I look forward to that every single year, and it's been going on. This will be the 20th year, and just the other day they announced, in addition to the fact that there's going to be a dessert party taking place during the Osborne Lights, they also announced that it would be canceled after this year. So I was so depressed about it. I immediately planned a little trip down for the weekend so I could see it one last time.
I have to be honest. I am completely depressed about this. I'm still I'm still not over the arches in Epcot.
So the arches, I don't so really funny. Care about. But the,
I loved the arches in Epcot, and I am really, really sad.
Yeah,
you know,
Lauren. Yeah,
we used, taking away yet another of my favorite Disney things.
I used to get the chicken fingers and walk under the arches. It was my thing.
Love those stinking arches.
The real chicken fingers with the real chicken meat that they had, you know, back in the day, and I'd get like my e-ticket. Ride ticket, and I'd walk into the arches.
Are you trying to tell me that I need to move into the future?
Mm-hmm.
Chicken fingers, not happening. Chicken fingers was his girlfriend's nickname, actually. Hey, chicken fingers.
Yeah, she's very upset about the arches too.
Dear God.
But
no, seriously, I know what you're saying. You're saying that every time they take something away from us, all of us nerds complain, and you're like, whatever. You know, you care about those lights.
Here's the thing. They're taking them away because of the other announcement, which we didn't cover, but because they're going to start construction of Star Wars Land early. Nice. So they bumped up, they announced that they're going to bump up Star Wars Land construction for Disneyland and Disney Hollywood Studios to 2016. And they didn't say exactly when, but it could be early, which is like a full year to almost 2 years before the original announcement. So they're getting started on that early. So it's going to obviously take over that backlot area, which is sad because little by little that backlot with the Osborne lights continually has whittled away, because the rest of the year it's just a barren New York fake streetscape. So, but, you know, they need to have, obviously, it would be nice to have a Christmas time thing back in Hollywood Studios, and I would hope that they're thinking of a way to do some type of special Christmas event.
I don't know where they could put that there,
though. I know, it's tough because they're not going to dress up Star Wars Land with Star Wars lights.
I felt. I not only whined about it on the Mouse Chat page, I whined about it on my personal page, and I went to bed early.
Oh my gosh. Like,
I know.
I had
really
a glass
pitiful.
Of wine.
Did
they
you
need
really?
To move it. That's the problem. Like, they need to find some place like Tomorrowland where it would be a great fit. Because they just can't discontinue something that was such an attraction.
Yeah. And they already have the Christmas party over at Magic Kingdom. They could do something more at Epcot, or they could do something more at Animal Kingdom, I guess, with Christmas. Or maybe there's something in the remodel where they're gonna do the Main Street, you know, when you walk down Hollywood Boulevard, and they'll do that in Christmas lights and then turn to the right to, I mean, they could do that whole Main Street when you first walk in. It'd be pretty spectacular. And then turn right down the whole way down to Tower of Terror.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. It would actually be awesome.
And that would be a...
Yeah, there's a place they could put it.
The only problem is you would have this huge congestion right when you walk into... Maybe, I don't know. Or maybe people would walk through it better. But anyway...
Well, and see, that's the beauty of the location it is now, because there is right. so many yeah. ways through there. So they would have to figure out...
Yeah.
A similar type of situation.
Yeah, and they're remodeling that whole park.
Do you know what I was thinking in addition to all this? Because if you know the backstory, you know that Jennings Osborne, like, was this guy from Little Rock who just, the city sued him like multiple times, and it went up all the way to the state Supreme Court because he had this huge Christmas display, and it was like in a very ritzy neighborhood, and he was drove the city of Little Rock crazy. So what I was wondering is, are they like sweating bullets right now going, oh God, please don't return that to Little Rock. You know, because I mean, Jennings Osborne has passed away, but I mean, his heirs, I guess, are they going to get it? I mean, that's a lot of lights.
They've completely replaced the lights since then.
I know, but seriously, I mean, you know, they're still kind of, I don't know. I mean, he must have some sort of like, I don't know. His heirs must have some sort of claim on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they've replaced every light bulb, but, you know, hey.
Well, they redid them with LEDs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they changed them.
Yeah,
but
so
they've got
all-
his
that's just
kitty
been
cat
a couple
there.
Years ago.
The kitty cat's still there. That was his.
I was just going to say, this will be the last year to find the black cat. They hide a black cat in the display.
We always
every
find
year.
That pretty quick, too.
Yeah, I never find it. I don't look. I'm just like, it's a wonderful experience. You get a carrot cake cookie. You stand there.
That sounds good.
Yeah, we were already going to go down for like a 2-day trip, so we added another night onto it.
Yeah, they have
which
the,
my husband
they have
doesn't
the snow
know
and it's chilly out and you get a cookie and they have the
I'm
music.
Hoping Lisa needs me to go down this year in December for some reason.
You could come stay with us.
We do have training that could be in December. We'll see.
I could totally. I think you need assistance.
I bet you do.
Can I just say something totally unrelated to this? Lisa, I do believe those compacts are sold out at Sephora.
Seriously?
Yes, ma'am.
That stinks.
Bummer.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it happens. So now you got like people excited. Now they're like, oh, bummer. Thanks, Chris Wood, for ruining everything.
You killjoy.
I know.
Okay. So, Chris, do you have something for Listener Corner?
Okay, I thought this was a fun question, especially for the Griswolds, because they have a lot of Disney stuff. So Terry writes, what's your favorite piece of Disney memorabilia that you own and why?
Oh, geez. Do I have to go first?
I'd happily go first because I know exactly what mine
okay,
is.
Okay, you knew the question ahead of time.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I did.
So I actually need to hear the question again.
Okay, it's what's your favorite piece of Disney memorabilia that you own? Own and why?
Oh, that's easy.
Yes. Okay. I'll just go because mine'll take like 30 seconds. I don't keep anything. I throw everything away. I'm the worst person. I am not sentimental. However, and I certainly don't buy Disney memorabilia. However, I do have one thing that I will never give away, and it's my Fantasyland expansion little badge that I got to go into the. You know, remember when we went in? It was 2012. We went to the Fantasyland expansion opening, and I probably have thanked all of you a million times for the opportunity to go to that. That was like perfect. So I will never get rid of that.
Oh, okay.
It's hanging in my house.
I have mine too, actually.
All right.
Okay, Lauren.
I would never get rid of that.
I keep all those things though. Like every event like that we've gotten to go to, I have. I wouldn't get rid of any of those.
I keep those, but the Fantasyland expansion one is the only one I wouldn't get rid of. Because that was just like, I mean, you all know how excited I was about it opening. I was like a kid. Every piece of gossip online. And then when we got invited to go, it was like a dream come true. It really was. I mean, not that I couldn't have, I mean, I'd seen some of it already. But I mean, just to go to a party there and I don't know. It was amazing. So, and they had free cupcakes.
True.
They did. Okay, Lauren.
For me, I have quite a few different things for memorabilia. I always, and I'm not sure what she's talking about specifically, but like for me, I always collect. Every year I get a new Christmas ornament. I would never get rid of those. My favorite thing that I use constantly, and at least a couple times a week, I would say probably, is my Mickey wine glass. I'm actually drinking out of it right now.
I thought you were going to say like my Mickey measuring spoons, but no, it was a wine glass.
Well, what are you going to do?
Sorry.
It is Lauren after all.
It is. It's my favorite thing.
It is. Okay. Interesting. Sharpie, do you know one? Come on, it's your captain's hat. It's not really Disney memorabilia, but it's tied into Disney.
Yeah. There are a few things actually. One of them is was something I purchased on our honeymoon.
Oh.
And it is a Mr. Incredible hockey jersey. For anyone who knows me, I'm not exactly a sports fan, but I fell in love with this Mr. Incredible hockey jersey. And
who wouldn't?
I got to wear it a couple times back to Walt Disney World and got to have my picture taken with Mr. Incredible wearing my Mr. Incredible hockey jersey. It's pretty awesome, I have to say. But every time I wear it, people are like, oh my gosh, where did you get that? I'm like, bought it in 2006. Sorry. But yeah, that's one of them. I love it. I think it's cool. I know it makes me look like a total nerd because it's red and yellow and it's just all sorts of bright colors. Right. It's cool though. But the other are the Disney art prints that we've picked up along the way. Nothing expensive, nothing extravagant. Frankly, we've bought almost all of them on total clearance. And the ones we didn't buy on clearance are just prints, but we actually have had them signed by the artist. So those are really cool. I have a huge wall in my office that's dedicated to my Disney Cruise Line art specifically, in the office, but I have just a few other things hanging around the house. So I just love being around the magic and remembering all the memories that we've made on our trips. But the final thing, if I may, a third one, is I started collecting the trading pins on our honeymoon, and I made a canvas out of them. So I just kind of I just bought a pre-stretched artist canvas and stuck them through there and just added comments and stuff by each one of them. It's just a really cool thing. Great reminder of how much fun we had on our honeymoon. It was lots of fun.
That's cool. I only have collected a handful of little Disney things, but Disney stuff seems to show up because we'll do like some type of an event or something with Pixie Vacations, and Disney will send us something. So, and that stuff's kind of cool because you get stuff that nobody else gets, and I hate to throw it away. So we did get a award last year, an earmarked award, and they took one of the Seven Dwarfs Mine Trains, one of the gyms, you know, when you go through Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and they have all the gyms in that with the Seven Dwarfs.
He's saying gem, not gym.
Yeah, they have those too. But gem. So we have one of the gems from there, and they carve the award into it, and so they must have had some extra gems left over. So that's kind of cool. And then as I look around the office and I'm surrounded by Disney stuff, we got some Mousekers, which are Disney awards that they usually only give to executives. And a lot of our top agents got Mousker awards. And so we've got 5 of them sitting right next to me. Yeah, so they're kind of cool. And then stuff I've actually bought and collected is I like the service award pins. So when I was there, I got a 1-year service award pin and then a 5-year service award pin. And then every once in a while, I would try to collect the other ones when I saw them on eBay or wherever.
Yeah, he like fakes it.
So I like to have a whole set of the service award pins. And I'm not going to go and work at Disney for 35 years. So
wait a minute. Mm-hmm. You collect other people's service awards?
Yeah,
pins.
You can find them on different trading
sites.
Wow,
that's not nerdy at all.
I know.
He also collects garbage can pictures. So
I love the can. I love
the
anything
that
goes garbage
pictures
cans.
Is actually not that weird.
The thing I would love to have, but I looked into it. This is the one thing I'd like to have. Sure. Yeah. I want one of those Disney garbage cans for the kitchen. But there,
you
put it there too.
I understand why you don't, and you have the room in there too.
I know
what you have there already. You have those ginormous garbage cans.
So I could just put one.
Be honestly,
there.
So would you kill him?
I even like the
She's
sound.
A total enabler.
You know the sound.
Are
even
you kidding me?
That sound that the door makes when it shuts when you put the stuff in the Disney garbage can.
Magic to you.
It's like it just reminds me. It's the only. It's the you. It reminds you of Disney. It's that sound of the little garbage can.
Okay, Steve, if you could choose any trash can from anywhere on property, which one would it be?
I don't know.
Main Street.
Main Street would be nice. There's a lot of cool ones.
Yeah, a lot of cool ones elsewhere.
The problem is, and I've actually found the company. We did a show, and there's a post that actually has the company that sells the garbage cans.
Yes, he's looked that deeply into this.
They're very expensive. And then they get them painted at Mako in Orlando. Because we saw the TV show where they paint them, and they spray paint a ton of them, make sure they're perfect, and then they decal them all to the correct land. So they have all the decals that they put on.
This pretty much explains to me why you used to walk under those arches in Epcot holding chicken fingers and not another human being's hand.
Yes. But
these chicken fingers are so good.
The garbage can would be cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If I had to come up with favorite memorabilia, And I'm probably not thinking of the best answers right now. But the first thing that popped into my head is I have a an eight-piece set of seven dwarfs in pewter. And they have little gems in them. And I do like that.
Where is that? Is that really old? Or is that...
It's from when I work there.
Oh, how cute. That's cute.
And to be continually dorky... every time a new pair of earrings would come out at Disney when I was there, I'd have to get them because I was all about the Disney earrings. So I have this Disney earring collection that is pretty cool.
Yeah, you have like a bazillion of those.
Yeah, and I only have 2 ears, so it's kind of tough.
You could always get more holes pierced.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, again, looking around the house, there's some artwork done with pins that I really like. That's behind Steve now, and it spells out Walt Disney World. We have one for Disneyland and Disney Cruise Line as well, but the one thing about Disney World is they don't necessarily look like letters. If you just had them by themselves, they would look like things, you know, whatever it is they're trying to be. So they picked pins or designs that can stand on their own, but when you put them together, it spells out Walt Disney World. The other two are obvious letters that they made to make these framed pictures. So I really appreciate the Walt Disney World one. I can't think of anything else.
I'm very surprised that either one of you didn't say that pixie painting you had done by that Disney artist.
Does that count?
It could.
Think it counts.
Yeah, we
had think that counts, especially since if you commissioned it or
I did.
Had it done, I would definitely say that counts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's cool. I mean, we get to do a lot of cool extra things and sometimes we get these press kits, and not a lot recently because Disney doesn't have a lot of stuff coming out, but you get like a little Seven Dwarfs wallet or
yeah,
you get little special extra things and it's cool. But like Chris Wood said, you know, at some point you're like, okay, what do I do with all this stuff?
I can't handle it. There's too much.
So I don't collect any like figures or whatever because I just couldn't imagine.
You can't imagine the things that I used to collect. I either have them hidden away somewhere that you don't know about. I used to collect the Disney plastic banks. They're like $6 each, but I'd collect the banks because they were cool. The figurines, the little ceramics, I would collect those. Several of those have gotten broken in the last couple of years. We have some cool pins. Yeah. We do have cool pins. I don't know if there are many plush that are even on the market that the girls don't have. Kind of sad.
Yeah. Chris, what were you saying?
This whole conversation makes me want to whip out my Swiffer duster.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I mean, even those, what are those? Those little figurine things that you get now at Disney, the plasticky Mickey.
I know what you're talking about. Lauren gets those.
The Vinylmations.
Yes.
Vinylmations. They're cute.
Like, I haven't bought a single one of them, but I've probably got, I don't know.
My girls collect them.
I have probably at least 10 of them in my office still in the box that have come from different events that were part of the event as a gift.
Yeah.
Jesse has a couple complete sets of those.
Wow.
Do you know what is an awesome thing to collect that you can't buy, but you know when there's something special going on, like the 60th anniversary in Disneyland or whatever, they give you those pins and those special maps as you come
in. Oh, I love those. Yeah.
People love those.
I have that stuff too, but I don't know what to do with it. Like I have a newspaper and I have the guidebook somewhere and I have a pin. And I have one from the world when we did the anniversary there.
You need to get those framed.
In a
drawer. It's a giveaway. Do a giveaway.
I need to do some giveaways because we have so many things framed that we don't have wall space for the stuff that we have framed anymore.
There's space in the bathroom.
There's.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's cool because we went to the 60th anniversary and they had an Orlando Anaheim newspaper from when Disneyland opened and they had their original ticket prices and articles. So I grabbed one of them And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. But now I'm like, what am I gonna do with it?
He likes takes such meticulous care to get it home.
Yeah, because you want to keep it flat. You don't want to get it all wrinkled up. So I need to give. Well, we need to do some Mouse Chat Disney bags of crap.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh,
we do have a meetup coming up in October.
That's true. We do. We should.
Yes.
I should. Yeah. I need to bring some
pins.
Stuff.
I have those pins from the day that they're sitting out that I will not be keeping. I've got lanyards from that day that I won't be keeping. I mean, I just don't, you know, don't.
Because the stuff is cool if you're a Disney fan, and it's stuff that you can't just go buy usually, that you've gotten at some special thing. So you hate to get rid of it. But then some of it, I'm like, you know, I'd rather give this to a Disney fan who
really appreciates
it. What about
that 50th anniversary cupcake from Disneyland?
I saw there was one on eBay.
Sitting there.
Yeah.
Well, and they had 60th anniversary cupcakes, and in fact, I have a picture of Lauren with it. But they weren't very good, were they?
No.
No, they were like almost frozen.
They were okay.
But yes, lots of cool stuff. Pennies you could collect, penny press pennies. I mean, there's so many things you could collect as a Disney World fan.
Well, yeah. That's the
point.
Well,
some people have like whole rooms. You know, they'll just have like a room in their house with all their stuff.
I would, if I could have my own little tiki room.
We used to collect the,
Would it be enchanted?
It probably would, yes.
We used to collect Big Figs.
Oh, God.
What are those?
The worst part about those.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they take up like so much room.
They're gigantic.
Yeah.
What are they?
They're like giant figurines.
2-foot statues.
Oh, okay.
Like they'll have, you know, the Empress Lily with Mickey Mouse in black and white with the... With the wheel.
The Empress Lily?
Or not the Empress.
Oh,
the
Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat Willie, thank you.
Or
they'll
yeah.
have like, I don't know, they had one for Disney Cruise Line that we got.
Well, you had Captain Hook.
Yeah.
And what do you, did you just sell them or something or what?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because they are huge. They take up a lot of space.
And they weren't cheap either.
No, they're at least 100 to 250 a piece or something.
That's why I've never, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to start a Disney collection, gosh, even...
Press pennies.
Small.
Yeah, press pennies add up, though.
50 cents a piece. That's
51.
You know what? The only thing that would really possibly tempt me, some of the paintings that are like the old-fashioned looking ones.
Love it.
From, you know, like the retro, like 1950s Disneyland. Those I really like. The prints and stuff. Those I think are cute.
Yeah.
But,
I'll have to warn Kevin.
I am like a, I love any of that where they have like an old t-shirt from Disney World.
Did
from the
70s. Those cups? They have these awesome mugs now with like a like retro attraction stuff on them.
Yep.
Cute.
Well, I got our set of coasters. Those were retro.
Where yeah, they have
Cruise,
like the
Space
original
Mountain,
posters. Yeah, the original poster artwork, all that stuff. And I think they have that same type thing on those cups. But I love
there's
that.
A lot of
the orange, the orange bird stuff, any of that stuff that kind of brings you back to the 70s, 80s is pretty cool.
Oh, you know what was cool? Okay, so I was cleaning through the kitchen and I had some stuff that I needed to put away in storage. So I'm down in the storage room and there's a box of photos. I'm like, So I take a peek and I found this caricature that I got done when it was my first visit to Disney World when I was 5.
Oh, cute.
Oh, I was so stinking cute. I don't know what happened, but...
You know what? Take a picture of it and put it on the Mouse Chat page.
Okay. And you know what's interesting about it? It was done on transparency.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah. So I still have it. Decent shape.
Cute.
I'll put it up there. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this show. I would like to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. If you enjoy our shows, hopefully you do, why else would you be listening?
Torture. Some people are very sick, Lisa.
Yeah, that's true.
That could be true. So if you do like our shows, you can download them at iTunes and also at mousechat.net. And if you've got some comments or questions for us, please send them to us. We love to get those. Send them to comments@mousechat.net. Thank you so much for listening, and please join us again next time on Mouse Chat.